Hello, this is a radio show. How are you? I don't know.
What show would that be?
You're listening to Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842, toll-free nationwide. That's our voicemail number, and I've always wanted to do that because I know it's terrible. I don't know, I just felt like today, I feel kind of terrible, which is another thing you're not supposed to do on the radio. But,
we're feeling great.
Yeah, you guys are great. So, you're covering for me, hey. So there's a lot of news this week. First one, let's start with a high note. The Center for Inquiry has brought Bangladeshi atheist blogger Taslima Nazrin to the U.S. Nazrin had received death threats from the same group that killed three other atheist bloggers this year. While the CFI's efforts have ensured Nazrin's safety in the short term, she cannot stay long in the U.S. CFI has announced a fund to help threatened victims like Nazrin and are asking for donations. The group says that they have been in contact with numerous other writers who feel threatened. So, good news.
This is amazing news.
Yeah.
The thing is that in Bangladesh, there have been three murders. There have been vicious attacks. And it's very problematic. I mean, you have all kinds of things going on in Bangladesh, which is ostensibly a secular government.
Yeah.
But you have people of extremist views that believe that someone who speaks against Islam or against, against the Prophet or against anything that would offend religious sensibilities is deserving of death.
Yeah. This is the kind of thing that when I talk about when I asked a few weeks ago, it's not unique to Islam, but is this actually happening more often in Islam than it is in other religions? And I think it is.
I was aware that this was in the works only vaguely because they were terrified of information getting out that would somehow compromise this. And it wasn't until that moment that I really understood what was going on, because I remember the first couple times that I heard that a blogger was hacked to death, I remember saying to Brian, I was like, why don't they just get out of there? Like, so naively, like they can just
get pick up out. And leave.
Like, right. Like they can just, get a backpack on and, leave their stuff behind. I thought that it was a choice they were making. And it was so eye-opening to see how much it took to get one out and how much effort has to be put in to save these lives,
Now, the part that catches me on this one is that they can't stay in the U.S. I have a question. We have such concepts of political asylum.
If there were not a reason
not a reason to get political asylum, please tell me what is. What's the point?
It's very complex. I mean, I've had students and associates that were in the process of applying for asylum, and there's all kinds of different things that can be used as grounds for asylum. If you or your family or personal self are in danger either by function of the government or by the political situation in your country.
Don't buy it.
You can apply for that.
I do not buy it.
Here's the thing. You can apply for that. You can apply for asylum. Does it get granted in many cases? No, it doesn't.
You want to make it complex because the government apparently wants to make it complex. But there's nothing complex about I wrote something and now I'm going to be murdered for it.
Strong history of people doing exactly as you do, being murdered for this exact
and
act.
The group that murdered them saying your name out loud and saying you are on their list.
Well, it's another one of those situations where, if the United States, from a political perspective, at least in my opinion, is if we're going to be the big player on the political scene, if we are going to be the biggest piece in the great game, what are we for if not this? I think the stretch is beyond any other political ideology. The First Amendment is the First Amendment. It's the one of the most important sentences in that document. So I would assume that we hold freedom of speech very highly. These are people being murdered for speech. Seems like something you'd care about.
Yeah, in my mind, once they have her here, then they can work towards asylum. I wonder if the government takes how much communication between them and the other government would it take to get somebody out? And would they be killed before that point?
I here's the reason why it may not be, they might not be able to receive asylum. Is another news story. The Bangladeshi government has banned the Islamic group that is claiming credit for the killing of secular bloggers. The Ansarullah Bangla team, or ABT, is thought to be behind the killings of three bloggers, including Avjit Roy and Washikur Rahman, earlier this year. While ABT is the sixth Islamic group to be banned in this nation, activists claim that government hasn't done enough to protect critics of religion. I mean, Bangladesh is a very Islamic area, is it not?
Yeah, high adherence to Islam. But here's the thing. You have one team that says, I'm going to do this, or this is my group that I'm doing. Oh, we got banned. We can reform under the auspices of something different.
I'm completely wondering, what does the word ban mean? It's just this paperwork and words? Because ban doesn't get rid of the people and it doesn't get rid of the ideas. It just, like Becky just said, it gets rid of the formation of that specific group. The people are still there and then they can just continue doing exactly anything that they were doing. I don't understand what ban means or does.
Well, it's not something common.
Other than saying, we don't like this idea.
Right.
And we're just going to state that we don't. Look, we tried something, sort of.
Well, we've had banned groups in the United States here and there. I mean, the Communist Party is one in some places.
Well, there can be a de facto ban or someone saying on paper, we don't like this.
And that is exactly the point. The people who were a part of this group just don't, okay, you can't talk to each other anymore. that's not how it's going to work. And so how is this actually protection, especially in a government which has made some very strange statements that seems like they'd be more on the side of the killers at some point?
I don't know that I would personally go that far from what I've read. We have seen in the past the Bangladeshi government reacting promptly to track down people basically police operators of the government.
All right,
to track
I'll retract that.
Attackers
then.
And assailants.
I will fully apologize for that one and retract.
But I think that what we're saying, activists claim the government hasn't done enough to protect the critics of religion. They are between a rock and a hard place where you have people that are saying this is offensive to my religion, and that is allowed to ban something based on it causing offense to religion. It crosses the line when you start hacking people with machetes in broad daylight in open squares. And I think that it's incumbent upon a government to look very seriously at whether you say we're going to ban speech that offends and harms religious sensibilities. We have those laws in many nations around the world. We have them in EU states. We have them across Africa, across the Middle East, in Asia, and we have them in the Americas as well. And so I think that when we say activists claim the government hasn't done enough to protect critics of religion, we are, Sam, just as you said, going back to that First Amendment of our Constitution, which we hold near and dear. I think that we would like to see, or activists would like to see, protection of people who utter those words, who have that speech that is part of them, and not heed so closely to the offending of religious sensibilities.
Yeah. I this may seem like really poor editorialization, but the juxtaposition of these stories, I kind of want to do, and not for the reasons you might think. New Jersey woman Shannon Morgan is suing the Department of Motor Vehicles over a denial of a vanity plate request that read 8 Theist. The personalized plate was denied on the grounds that offended good taste and decency. When Morgan tried the plate Baptist, it was approved without question. Morgan's lawsuit claims that the DMV has a practice of denying personalized license plates that identify vehicle owners as atheists, thereby discriminating against atheist viewpoints and expressing a preference for theism over non-theism. A similar lawsuit was threatened by American Atheist President David Silverman when his atheist with a one license plate was originally denied. Silverman's plate was later administratively approved. So the obvious editorial complaint here is one of these things is not like the other, people getting killed, people not getting license plates. On the other hand, there's a similarity here. This is speech. This is people making speech. And I'll be honest with you, with personalized license plates, people are like my car or a doorknob or whatever. It is a matter of speech.
Well, I'm not sure where the line is for license plates, because there are words that I am not allowed to say currently on this program that I'm assuming they would also keep off of license plates.
And that's ostensibly the point.
But we are allowed to say atheist. We are allowed to say that this radio program is called Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. And
definitely.
Who is to determine that we are not permitted to put that on our car?
Well, and who originally started with these laws, and what were they based on? Because in my mind, the only thing that these were not atheists deciding this. This was a pool of people with discriminatory thoughts towards atheist people.
Yeah. And but the reason why I bring this up is because I see a lot when I see stories like these in on my screen here in the studio or on social media is like, look, there are people who are actually dying. And why are we complaining about this? We can do both, people.
That's like saying I shouldn't put a Band-Aid on my finger when I cut it.
Yeah.
Because my arm hasn't been chopped off.
It's yeah.
I still have to take care of this wound as well.
And I not only do I think we can do both, I think we absolutely must do both.
I am glad, though, that Shannon Morgan, the applicant for the atheist license plate, is not being threatened with machete hacking.
But that's the... Yeah, that's absolutely.
But that is not to say that she has a warrantless or a groundless lawsuit.
Yeah.
If New Jersey DMV has a practice of habitually discriminating against atheist viewpoints and favoring religion or theism over the speech of atheists, that's a problem. That's a problem that is in conflict with probably the state constitution of New Jersey and definitely the federal principles of separation of church and state.
Yeah, and you know, in the case of radio and in the case of license plates, they might there might be limitations on speech for standards of decency that you wouldn't have in terms of interpersonal speech. But we're still allowed to have opinions, and we're still allowed to express these opinions via whatever channel we choose to do so. And I think it's absolutely necessary that we protect these channels, which is part of the reason why I tilt at windmills. Like the In God We Trust plaques going in counties and stuff like that is I absolutely do think both of these are important, maybe not to the same level of importance, but they need to be fought and we need to do both. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, more weirdness, yes.
Hey, podcast listeners.
Did you know that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is a radio show?
Radio waves and everything.
If you know of a radio station that could benefit from Ask an Atheist in your area, let us know.
And don't forget to let the station know you'd love to hear us.
So to help us humanize atheists in mass media, email us at stations@askanatheist.tv.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
Imagine tropical waters, warm sandy beaches, friendly people, incredible weather. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia awaits. Don Summers and his team at Professional Realty Group are ready to assist you. Whether you're looking for an investment, a place to retire, or a killer vacation property, St. Lucia has homes in all price ranges starting at $110,000. Call Don at 780-237-4718 and check out dndrealty.ca.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEX Radio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And to keep the free speech train running, there's a story that you've probably heard of, but we really should talk about it because we've always had the sort of warts and all opinion about covering the atheist community. And boy, this is definitely one of them. More than 200 armed demonstrators gathered last week at the Islamic Community Center in Phoenix, displaying weapons and shouting obscenities. John Ritzheimer, a veteran of the Iraq War and organizer of the protest, defended his rally as a patriotic sign of resistance against the so-called tyranny of Islam in America. He encouraged attendees to draw Muhammad cartoons and to bring firearms and assault rifles as a precautionary measure. Anti-riot police divided them from an equal crowd of counter-protesters gathered to defend the faith and its adherents. There were no reports of violence. So, I didn't realize... I don't know, this kind of, that's the kind of speech that I'm used to hearing in Arizona from a very specific crowd. And then I was told that he is actually an that was a turnaround. He's an atheist.
John Ritzheimer, organizer of this protest, is an atheist.
Yes.
Okay, so this would be the wart part?
Yeah. This is lame. For one thing, this is Phoenix. I mean, there's a carnival and people bring AK-47s. I'm not going to lie about that.
A note to self, like,
in Arizona. Well, Phoenix has had a resurgence or had a, surge of unaffiliated people in the last 8 years or so, and a lot of humanist activities. But apparently there's just as many atheists who are vocally anti-Islam. And in this case, as if you're shouting obscenities and wearing T-shirts that... have slurs and obscenities on them, and you're gathering outside someone's house of worship on their day of worship to visibly intimidate people. I don't know. You have the right to do that. I would not participate, and I don't think I like you very much.
I think this reasonably calls into question. Often as atheists, we align gun culture with religious culture.
Yeah,
and that's not the case. Gun culture is its own culture, and
it absolutely is in Arizona. Yeah, yes. Straight. Yeah, I have,
and yeah, people of all backgrounds belong to gun culture in America.
Yeah,
and here's one of our atheist fellows.
Well,
we speak out against that.
Here's the thing, though. There's a lot of people who say he shouldn't have done that, and that may be one thing. But he's allowed to do that. So he's specifically allowed to bring guns. But that boggles me, though. I mean, in a time when, one, this is a protest regarding
violence.
Regarding violence. And you're bringing guns to the protest.
The
protest
is very
anymore.
Muddled.
Yeah.
The message is muddled. You're like, don't be violent. Or we will kill you.
That's not particularly muddled.
I understand.
A little crossed wires.
Violence begets violence in this case. And, how far would a peaceful protest go?
The thing is, I don't think the message is muddled, and I don't think it was ineffectively transmitted. If you keep it, we will match dead person for dead person is the message.
Well, I mean, right in my mind, I think of Eddie Izzard in Dressed to Kill whenever he's like, they've got guns. We've got, like, get our guns, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in response to guns, get guns. There was a different reason there, but it's a similar thing here.
Well, so there are a few updates on this.
Well, I still want to go on about this, is I've heard a lot of atheists saying we shouldn't do stuff like this as a community, that it doesn't help us, that it doesn't serve the cause, and it doesn't serve people. And as much as I disagree with what this guy did, and as much as I really, really think this was the wrong message to send and this was the wrong way to do it, I disagree.
I think atheists, almost every single group of atheists points at every other single group of atheists and finds problems with them.
Well, sure.
You know, I mean, like, people point at humanists and they're just like, they are not being vocal enough about their atheism instead
right.
of saying human. I mean, they'll just find reasons for any group and point at them and say, ah.
Well, I'll point at myself, you know, sometimes too. But I think on some level this needs to happen. Not the surrounding a mosque or a community center and doing it. But I think the celebration of blasphemy is a really good idea. Except I think you need to work with people and not against them in order to get the concept of free speech into the conversation.
The president of the Islamic Community Center of Phoenix actually came out and said, I invite anyone who is protesting or counter-protesting to come join us for Friday prayer. He said, I don't know that anyone here has actually met and talked and interacted with a Muslim person. And in terms of saying, I want to see about working with someone as opposed to against someone to try and celebrate free speech, that was a huge move. He in and of himself said, yes, drawing the prophet, any prophet in Islam, is offensive, but we're not here to cause violence. To acknowledge that something is offensive, but then also to say, come in and meet us, we're not going to kill you because of it, is huge.
That is huge.
Don't agree. A little bit. I
want to send that guy a thank you card.
Well, yeah, it's the obvious thing to do in that situation, I think. The other obvious
thing. It changes a little bit of the story of the way people view what the reaction would necessarily be. If you were to poll people and say, what would the reaction of the leader be? Would it be that? I don't think your poll would show that most people would think that would be the thing that would occur.
I don't know. I think it was...
That would be the reasonable thing to do.
I think everybody could agree on that. I think it was the right thing to do, and that's good. But I think I would have to know a little bit more in order to unequivocally say that it was a good idea. I think what you need to do to work with people is I think we should have a celebration of blasphemy and invite... First and foremost, has to be... a few Muslims out there who don't care.
Blasphemy con.
Yeah, blasphemy con. Let's do a blasphemy chalk-off. Not specifically directed at Islam, but just directed at, you know, all right, come blaspheme. Come together as a group and blaspheme at each other for a few hours and do it as artfully as you can. And the winner gets, gift certificate to a barbecue restaurant that specializes
in
pork.
You can go and you can... blasphemously paint over other people's blasphemy with your blasphemy.
You invite, get some people together, get some Christians together, get some Muslims together, get some atheists together. We're good at it. We'll teach you how. Get some Buddhists together and just invite everybody to work together to piss everyone off, I guess, or tick everyone off.
I can say that having grown up Jewish, and one of the practices is you do not let a scripture or prayer book touch the floor, and you do not sort of desecrate it. You don't put your feet on it. You don't let it touch the floor. You don't sit on it, things like that. And I was attending a lecture where someone was challenging that, and they were giving a talk on the Bible, and as sort of a gag and for some shock value, would take the Bible and continually drop it on the ground. Oh, excuse me. Oh, sorry. And do that over and over. And I can tell you, even when I was experiencing doubt and not super observant and religious, it's still you flinch. And it was very difficult. And I had to sort of talk to myself and say, this is not This is not a house of worship. This is not an adherent of this particular religion. And what he's doing has no personal meaning for him. It does have meaning for other people. That's why those other people are not dropping their prayer book or their Bible. But he is. And it doesn't matter. And that's okay, because it's just a piece of paper bound in a book. And it's okay.
Yeah.
So it can be very difficult to drop that sensitivity. But when you see more and more of it happening, you say, you know what, this hall has been transferred into a house of worship when it's Sundays. And other than that, it's dance hall and roller rink and assembly. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's people make meaning out of the objects and spaces that they're in. And when it's no longer being used for that purpose, there's no meaning to it anymore. And so you don't need to be sensitive and offended when someone drops your Bible or in something that you used as a church hall now does dance parties. It doesn't matter.
And I think inviting the Islamic community to participate also sends the message that we know it's not you.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
I think that it would be possibly lost on some without explicit invitation, explanation, things like that, because that's a hard thing to sort of get around. If I had, at the time that I was an observant Jew, at say around age 16, said, hey, Becky, we're going to invite you to come to our Torah burning or our Siddur burning festival on the 4th of July. It's nowhere near your house of worship. I would have been disgusted by that invitation, said, how dare you, the gall that you have to send me an invite to that?
What would I would you? Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I personally don't think I would go. I would support people who went, but I'm not somebody who spends my time thinking, I really want to write something blasphemous. Like, that's not, I would never do that. I would never draw it, but that's just
You're
not something
I would
do.
You're on this show.
I'm on this show. That's fine. I'm saying I wouldn't go and draw Muhammad because I don't do that. That's not, I'm just not interested. I'm not interested in drawing Jesus either. To me, it's books. Yeah. I could be drawing Harry Potter. What I just did was blasphemous. You know, it's just, I don't feel like it's wasting my time. I don't know. So it's just, but it's more or less like, I'm just like, you guys are having your field day and that's fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind them doing that. And I would promote it and everything. But I'm just like, that's a waste of time. I might go on a hike.
I'm not saying it would bring in, you know, a free speech utopia. But I think it would send a much better message than surrounding an Islamic cultural center with AK-47s.
Can we talk about what Mr. Ritzhammer has desired after this demonstration?
Oh, yeah. After this, he has a GoFundMe for $10 million so he can take his family into hiding after they experience threats. $10 million.
He feels threatened because he did this.
That's one thing. That's sort of the message, isn't it? If you're trying to send a message to people who want to kill you for blasphemy, you should expect that. I mean, that sucks. That absolutely sucks. But that's why you're sending this message, isn't it?
Is it lost on him that someone going to their house of worship is then surrounded by people shouting obscenities with?
He's not wrong here. Well, he's not, because he did the free speech thing, and now he's getting death threats. That's wrong. That is absolutely wrong, and he should be protected. And so I don't want to say, well, what do you expect? You're going to get killed. That's the whole point.
That was not what I was expecting. I was saying, how is it lost on him that the individuals who are trying to pray at this mosque feel threatened by a bunch of people shouting obscenities and brandishing weapons at them?
Right.
Would also feel threatened. So every single one of them, are they entitled to $10 billion to go bring their family into hiding somewhere?
Yeah,
hardly. Right. Yeah, the amount and the way it was done makes it seem a little bit more cash grabby than actual protection.
I don't think anybody would disagree with you there at all.
Well, and GoFundMe yanked the campaign, so that's a good point.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only thing, is that this seems like it might have been a, like, hey, I can capitalize
on national attention.
And if he was actually like, I'm getting threats and I don't know what to do, that would be a very different story. It's like, okay, yeah, you did this. Now, you know, you should be supported by the community that joined you in this. But saying, hey, give me $10 million. In contrast, Horace Gilgamesh, author of the Awkward Moments Children's Bible, has announced that he is canceling a project on the Quran. In a statement on his website, the author said that after much deliberation, he decided that the threat of violence was too great for him and his partners to finish the kids' Quran project. Gilgamesh said that while he'd gotten death threats for his Bible works, he never took them very seriously. After the Charlie Hebdo shootings, the murder of bloggers in Bangladesh, and the attack on a Draw Muhammad contest in Texas, Gilgamesh decided that the threat from radical Muslims couldn't be ignored.
This is, a lot of people had a heavy heart about this. Horace Gilgamesh, we talked to him, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago or so about his Awkward Moments children's Bible, and the closest that he got to being threatened with harm was about a year ago now, at a convention in the SeaTac area, in Seattle, Tacoma area, where someone said, "I know where you live," used his home address and his given name to threaten his family and saying, "I will show up at this particular event." And so in order to protect the community, he decided to not appear at that particular event. But it does give one pause when you have threats in, you know, in a global context, including here, to say, you know what, this particular thing may be offensive to adherents of the Bible, who, you know, hem and haw at it and say this is terrible and I think that you should be banned, versus versus making fun of the Quran, where a reaction, certainly not by the majority of adherents of the Quran, but a reaction is not unexpected when you have things like shootings and machete attacks.
And you have cartoonists, literally cartoonists, who have been murdered, and that, and he is following in those steps. He is a cartoonist who is writing on, you know, the same subject matter.
His right that, you know, the freedom of speech means freedom to speak or freedom to not speak. You shouldn't be pushed into it one way or another.
Also,
but
sorry,
this is what they're aiming for. This is what the folk, this is what folks want. This is extrajudicial enforcement of law. Is if you don't like speech, you kill people, then speech stops. That is kind of the goal.
It's easy to say that. I think it's much harder to be Horace Gilgamesh. Because
I don't blame him at all.
Not at all. Not at all. For any person who says, you know, you should, well, then they should. Like, if you think that Horace should, then go be Horace and do it.
Well,
if you think it's that important that it's worth somebody's life, then throw your life out on the line, you know, because that's what you're requesting he do in this case.
If
he can make that decision to not throw his own life on the line.
Yeah. And as I was going to say, I were in his position.
I'm so sorry.
If I were in his position, I would do the same.
Yeah.
Not, you know, whatever, me, you throw the dice. But I got, you know, we've got friends, we've got family. You have the, you know, everyday interpersonal connections of people that you care about. You have to worry about those people too. But I think when we make decisions like this, that needs to be said and that needs to be understood. And so there's the safety position that needs to be taken. And then there's like the, well, if we're not going to do this, are we just going to do nothing? What's the next step?
So,
and that's the part that always confuses, where I get lost.
It's one thing to consider an individual's perspective, but then also to remember that it's in the context of the speech and the drawing is what is so offensive. And when we stamp that out altogether, then there is no individual that is particularly doing it, or a movement of individuals that is particularly causing that, you know, offense and bringing people to meet that expectation that someone will always honor your particular religion. Like I said, if you're not really desensitized to it, and I can say, you know what, if you want to throw my Torah and my scriptures on the floor, that's your thing. I won't do it. And if we had more of the kind of events and just general cultural, acclimation of illustrating, drawing, and writing blasphemous things, then people could say, you know what, that's for someone that isn't an adherent of my religion. I and my fellow adherents of my religion won't do that.
Well, and there's safety in numbers. Like, whenever an author puts out a book that is their name attached in a very strong, meaningful, powerful, reaches a lot of people kind of way.
Yeah.
When you have a whole group get together, who's the target? Without a name attached and just a group of people showing the exact same thoughts at the same time without, you know, a name attached, you know, or many, 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 you know, names attached, then there's less of a risk.
I see this as a direct application of a doctrine I hear atheists talk about a lot, which is ideas are not important, people are. I think this is a direct application of that doctrine. It's not in a way that we like, but that's what it is we've got people dying. And it's not just the people who are doing the art or doing the blaspheming. It's people around them too. And that needs to be that needs to be challenged, that needs to be fought on some level. But if people are important and ideas are not, then that's something we have to think about sometimes. And that sometimes drives us to actions that we might not otherwise like.
Or that we would rather opt for something different, but we have to go with this particular choice out of safety. You have Avjit Roy's wife that is currently in the U.S. Recovering from her injuries and bravely speaking, because she herself was attacked as well in the same assassination attempt that did kill her husband.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I can see both sides of the issue here, the need to push and the need to protect people. And it's I get worried when people try to make this, like, as you said before, try to make decisions for other people. And I think that's the thing to avoid. We've got some people to thank, though. I'd like to thank Ruth from Roseville, Minnesota, for meeting Peggy's challenge. Peggy's challenge is the challengers to listeners of Ask an Atheist to keep the lights on here at the show. You can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button on the right-hand side. It'll take you directly to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. So, you were saying?
I laughed myself.
it's always really nice to have first-time donors and first-time contributors from places in the country that we haven't heard from. It's really wonderful to hear that we have listeners in the United States, abroad, everywhere. We love it. So thank you.
Listen to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to come to a break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about this, I think, or move on to other free speech stuff.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. This episode seems inadvertently almost all about free speech, I think. didn't see that coming. And we're going to continue that now with the story that Becky, I think, really wanted to do. This is the story you woke me up with this morning. Pop star Jennifer Lopez is being sued in Morocco after performing a televised festival in Morocco's capital city, Rabat. J-Lo, as Lopez is often called, is accused of tarnishing women's honor and disturbing public order after members of the public and parliament called for the resignation of communications minister and event promoter Mustafa Khalifi. The minister tweeted that J-Lo's performance was unacceptable and goes against broadcasting law and agreed to meet with the Television Network's Ethics Committee. According to the festival's website, the Mazin Rhythms of the World Festival was created in 2001 to promote openness of cultures by offering the public a musical journey to the four corners of the planet.
All cultures except those with booty shaking.
That definitely doesn't exist anywhere.
Nope, yeah. Nope. And certainly not in Morocco. The thing that I really love about this one, I mean, I don't love that Jennifer Lopez is being sued, and if she goes to Morocco, she faces, very unlikely, but she faces up to 2 years in prison and some fines and things like that.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't like about this story isn't that the communications minister is being called to resign. The thing that I like about this is that the members of the parliament in Morocco and the particular members of the public and educational organizations that are saying, we're going to sue J-Lo for this, is the equivalent of our Focus on the Family freaking out about a wardrobe malfunction at a large cultural event. It's like saying, hey, you know what? We think that this person revealed too much cleavage and this is unfit for broadcast. It's the same thing. Morocco is predominantly Muslim, yeah, but very, very liberal. And the other thing that I put this in contrast to is a friend of the show, Shelley Siegel, singer-songwriter and atheist from Australia, actually did a music video in Morocco. And she was wearing a sundress, and she actually received backlash to her music video, saying very much the same kind of similar things that she's tarnishing women's reputation.
Let's make it clear, she was not gyrating.
She was not gyrating. She's sitting there with a guitar and her dreadlocks and in a sundress, and great. I mean, even if she were gyrating, for that matter.
That matter.
Yeah. We'll just make that clear.
Right. So, but she was actually accused of tarnishing women's honor and disturbing public order.
Yeah.
So
I've seen that video and it's very sweet.
Yeah. It's just a really fun time of like, hey, being in the streets of Morocco, experiencing a different culture. And Shelley has had dreadlocks at the time. And so she was, called, hey, Rasta, you know, and she references that in her song. And it's a celebration of enjoying Moroccan culture. Now, I don't know that J-Lo's performance was necessarily a celebration of enjoying Moroccan culture, but she's certainly been asked there to perform at this festival. You had other groups like, you know, Maroon 5, you had Pharrell Williams that were there. I don't know that any of them would be accused of disturbing the public order.
Well, and it stands completely in line with their entire goal and mission, which was to promote, you know, a journey to the four corners of the planet.
Yeah.
And so she was literally doing her job, showing exactly, I mean, she was doing exactly, demonstrating a very specific
corner
of the planet. Oh, corners are the outlying positions.
That's more of a single entendre, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. So I hope that the Minister of Communications, who also is the event promoter, doesn't have to resign. And I hope that he can meet with this particular group and say, yes, 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 we won't do anything similar. Slap, slap on the wrist.
Right.
We understand your sensitive eyes. And then keep promoting awesome, like, multi-weekend festivals of music.
Absolutely. So I want to switch places. Oh, and thanks for telling me who J-Lo is, because I obviously wasn't going to know that. I have a feeling, because you wrote this up, right?
I did.
I have the distinct feeling you put...
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, just so that I would know who we're talking about.
Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
I'm Jennifer Lopez, so I don't watch television. I did know who Jennifer Lopez was, but yeah. After we bought our Fiat, somebody said, you got the J-Lo car. And I was like, oh, no. I don't know what that means. And she has an entire music video featuring exactly our car and exactly the colors of our car. We did buy the J-Lo car. We currently drive the J-Lo car.
Okay, you are tarnishing women's women's reputations.
Wasn't she in some weird early 2000s sci-fi movie? Is that her?
Possibly. I'm not sure, Sam. We have to check on that.
I'll have to look. But yeah, I know who that is my whole point. I'm not, you know, I'm
right,
not like
we
250.
Know J-Lo.
Yeah, jeez. So switching tracks for a minute. This is Sammy from New Mexico who writes, I was just listening to an old episode and you guys were talking about homeschooling. I was homeschooled by my mother. I wanted to address your point about socialization. When I was being homeschooled, there was never a day I wasn't around people outside of my family. I'm certain that I actually got a richer social environment than I would have had been left in public school. Rather than being stuck with 30 kids my age, I was around kids of and adults of all ages. I went to tons of activities with kids and adults of all faiths. While it was very Christian-heavy, there were families that were secular or Mormon or Jewish or pagan. I could go on. The homeschooling community, at least where I lived, was very diverse, and it led me to being able to communicate with people of all ages and faiths easily. I think that homeschooling is an option that works very well for some kids. I strongly believe that I wouldn't have the love of science, technology, and math that I do without being homeschooled by my mother, all things that led to me being an atheist. So,
this is a woman who is very properly homeschooled.
Well, the whole socialization thing was in reference to a comment that I made, which I'd like to respond to that, but then I'd like to talk about this whole homeschooling thing generally. And that is, I said I needed public school. I could have left early. I didn't because I was an alien from space and I needed to be around other people. And I think that is, in my case, that is absolutely true. We may have the same, you know, this is Sammy. I may be Sam. We are not the same person. This is not one of my clones.
Well, and you don't have her mom.
And I don't have, and I definitely don't have her mom. So my needs and requirements are not going to be the same as yours, or your children's requirements aren't going to be the same as my children's requirements. So, I don't think what you experienced and what I experienced are mutually incompatible. I think that's entirely possible. But I can tell you that in my case, the socialization I received from public school was exactly what I needed at the time. I can go that far. So homeschooling.
Yeah, no, I you know, it sounds like this woman was very properly homeschooled. It does seem like she understands the importance of socialization. And that is something that does often come up whenever you talk about people who were homeschooled, who were improperly homeschooled. She was very lucky to be in such a thriving community, and that's definitely something that you have to have and engage in if you're going to homeschool your child, because you will run into problems. I run into people whose parents were quote-unquote homeschooling them, but they didn't even have a curriculum. They gave them a few books. Most of the books were about Jesus. They ensured that nobody interacted with their child that didn't think the way that they did, and so they've come out, and they were very scarred in the way that they were homeschooled. But part of homeschooling and doing it properly is having them engage society. And I do believe that you can even have a better engagement with society because it can be so much more diverse. As she was stating in here, how she's not around the same 30 children every day. She's experiencing more and more and more of the world that most children don't get the opportunity to experience. So it can be a very positive, awesome thing if it's done properly. But that takes a lot of work, and it takes a certain kind of parent who has the drive to do it and continue to do it and step into that role. I don't even think that I could do it. It's so much work.
I feel like there might be a little bit of an issue of class creeping into this conversation a little bit. I think.
In terms of who has the time and the wherewithal to have the materials to be educated, to guide that kind of thing, that generally comes from people of means. It would be difficult to have access to that, say, if you didn't have you know, reliable internet access, if you maybe had not been exposed as a parent to all sorts of different ideas, and the community around you was highly rural and mostly Christian. It would be very difficult for a secular thinker who wants to homeschool their child to be able to do that. But at the same time, that might be a better option than the public school that might be influenced heavily by Christianity, that you have your child being bullied for refusing to say the Pledge of Allegiance, when you have a science teacher that is telling you, isn't it great what God's creation is? I mean, in those cases, having a secular homeschool curriculum would be invaluable. And I'm so glad that in the last 5 years or so, we've started to have a robust online community of secular homeschooling resources. And at this point, I would invite anyone who is either a secular homeschooling parent or a curriculum developer or a child experiencing homeschooling or a graduate of a homeschool experience, please write in, tell us about stuff, give us some of these links, tell us what's going on. We'd love to focus on that in an upcoming episode.
I'm going to go back to what Sam said just a moment ago about class, mostly because what's going on here is people rise to the level of what they can do. And parents make the best possible decisions that they can for their children. And so if they have the means, they go for a route like this. Or they might not even, whenever I say the means, I even mean the capability. They might feel nothing but anxiety about the idea of doing any of that. And so they can't do that. They have to step into any role that fits for their family. And so while it just takes everything to line up perfectly for you to have some kind of perfect environment. I honestly think that any environment that you end up being able to create is your perfect environment. So if your perfect environment involves two people working and the child going to public care, and that's what you do, that is the environment that you can create. It's the best possible environment for your family. And I feel like what this woman had was a very, very good homeschooling environment. And I would wish that for any homeschooled child, that they would be able to engage in that manner.
Well, I, you know, much like what we needed to discuss what went on in Phoenix this week, I think, you know, when talking about homeschooling, especially us, we do have to talk about the Andy Schlafly's of the world. And if you don't know who Andy Schlafly is, do you know what Conservapedia is? Conservapedia is a wiki that is that has all of its liberal biases boiled out. It was a joke 10 years ago. But the way a lot of the articles in Conservapedia were written were Andy Schlafly was a homeschool teacher. Every day for 5 days a week, a bunch of kids would go to a building and it'd be 30 kids to a class, and they would sit down in front of him and he would teach them. But they were homeschooled. And their homework, for a lot of them, for some of them anyway, were writing Conservapedia articles. So I think, you know, and then you've got a lot of the Christian education stuff going on. And I think that is the kind of stuff that we talk about in Ask an Atheist. That said, I think homeschooling is a tool just like any other. You know, used well, it works well. Used poorly, it works poorly. And I've long wanted to do an episode on, as Becky points out, on secular homeschooling, because I think that's important to talk about. Is if we're going to spend a lot of time complaining about Christian homeschooling, I think it would behoove us to show the other side of that particular coin. It's just it hasn't come together yet, which is why we haven't talked about it.
We have multiple families who send their children to programs like Camp Quest, who are homeschoolers, that are free thought homeschoolers. We also have a lot of people in the atheist community that can testify, if you'll excuse the term, to their experience as very sheltered Christian homeschool kids, that only until they escaped the clutches of their parents did they realize what phylogeny was and what evolution was and how geology works to help increase our understanding of the earth and climate change. And as you said, Becca, earlier, how these people have been scarred by this particular experience. In terms of socialization, is it socialization if you're only socializing with people who think exactly as you do, or who were taught that any thought outside of that is blasphemous? So in terms of looking at that, that's that sharp end of that tool that can cut and scar. But I would love to see, as you said, Sam, some of the really, really excellent Sammies of the world that have experienced that kind of pluralistic homeschooling that was very complete in one's education, and love to see what secular parents have been up to in the last 5 years or so as some of these communities have become more robust with lots of different online resources.
It looks like you've got some ideas there.
I do have some ideas here. Have some little ideas.
Want to give us one?
I actually don't think that the Wikipedia editing assignment is a terrible assignment. I would love to even do that with high schoolers in a public school.
But that's Wikipedia.
Let's do it with history. And
yeah. But looking at what counts as a citation, and how do you support an assertion, and how do you support a claim, and is this claim, is there bias behind it? It's wonderful things to be able to identify and play with.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the concept. I like the idea of a class, like a research methods class, maybe, where, I don't know what you'd call it, where you would improve Wikipedia. I think that's fine. Not Conservapedia.
Not Conservapedia.
No.
Not so
no,
much.
That's doing exactly, that's the keeping them inside of the bubble and not allowing them to climb out of the bubble.
Absolutely.
That's in reinforcing the bubble.
Yeah. So, like I said, we've said some negative things about the concept of homeschooling, but we've specifically tried to keep it to the concept of religious homeschooling. Because the idea behind religious homeschooling is to, like you said, to put kids in a bubble where they never have to hear about evolution.
And cut them off from thinking.
They never have to hear about other religions, that they don't have to worry about meeting other people, and you end up with a lot of people in the atheism community who experience that, who feel like they missed out on such a huge part of the human experience because they were only allowed one flavor at the ice cream shop of life, if you will. And that's the part I'm complaining about. I think. And I couldn't say otherwise about homeschooling when it's done properly, except that I have met people like Sammy and they are ridiculously well educated. Like, they know what phylogeny means. I don't. What does that mean again?
Well, and to say properly, one thing about that word properly, there's many ways to properly do something. We're not just talking about one particular line.
And that's all the time we got for today. My name is Sam Bowlby. With me is Rebecca Fitzman and Rebecca Friedman. You go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. Our writer was Dave Brulette. Out of order, but hey, I got it. See you guys next week.